The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Marco Marquez on this Tuesday, December 6, 2022. Now joined by Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. What's up, Jeff? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
You know, it's all right. Been better.
I bet.
F that game. How about that?
I've heard that once or twice.
That game, I thought that game was stupid. That's what I'll say. I'm tired of the Chiefs losing to the Bengals. How come the Chiefs can't beat the Bengals? Just tell me right now. Don't hold back.
Bengals are better. That simple.
Oh, Jeff. What?
Not that much better, but probably if the Chiefs are a 95 when they play, Bengals are a 96.
So then how come the Bengals lose more games than the Chiefs?
Well, right now they're one game behind the record, right? Bengals are 8-4, Chiefs are 9-3. Bengals had two losses by 1 point, start of the year, and they had a loss without Ja'Marr Chase. I think if they're the same record, there's probably more people who probably would say that. But I think if you play three times, you lose three times, it's not that hard to deduce that the team that's winning is a better team.
Okay, do you think the Bengals are better than the Bills?
I think they're pretty close. But I think that if you played – I think when they play each other, I think the Bills will beat them. I think the Bills can match up with them better.
So that's the word I was just about to ask you, is matchup.
Yeah.
Is it, 'cause sometimes, you know, when we do comparative scoring, it can be tough because it's like, well, you beat this team, but this team beats that team, and that team beats you. You know, like, is it one of those things? Is it a matchup thing?
Yeah, it's a matchup thing. I think it's a matchup and a roster thing. I mean, if you look at – if you took the Bills, the Bengals roster and compared it to the Chiefs roster, aside from Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones, how many guys are you taking from the Chiefs over guys from the Bengals? Like, not that many. I mean, they're better at receiver. They're better at running back. They're better – offensive line's probably better. The offensive line plays better than they see the Chiefs. They're better in the front seven. Their edge rushers are better. They got more guys who can rush the passer. They're an underrated team, and they've been an underrated team for the last 18 months. It's just because of their franchise history, and they play in a small market. They remind me a lot of the Carolina Panthers back in the mid-2000s when they had Jake Delhomme and Steve Smith and Julius Peppers and all these guys. And I would go watch the Panthers play, and they made the Super Bowl the first year that they really caught fire. And I'd say, man, these Panthers are really good. Oh, Carolina Panthers, you kidding me? Like, who's Steve Smith? Like, who's Mike Rucker? Who are these guys they got playing for them? But they had a good quarterback. They had two really good running backs. They had Steve Smith and Musin Muhammad at receiver. They had a good offensive line. They had a good front seven. They had a smart head coach. And they would go beat teams that were more glorified, sexier teams like the Eagles or the Rams. People would be like, what's going on? And they almost won the Super Bowl that year because they were a really good team. And I think the Bengals are the same kind of team. They're just really well-structured, really connected. And when you're in their locker room, like I was after the game, like they have a chip on their shoulder. Like they know people don't respect them and take them as seriously as the Chiefs or the Bills or other teams around the league.
You know, I've been a big Bengals fan since like going into last year, and I thought
you called it.
And I thought this year a lot of people felt like, you know, it was going to be that Super Bowl hangover. The team that loses the Super Bowl takes a big step back. And I remember talking to you, telling you, like, but they have a young roster. Like they should be a year better this year, not a year worse. And I do think that chip on the shoulder thing you said is right. Did Stephen, have you seen the Justin Reed tweet today? We're going to address this or.
Well, I retweeted it with the monocle emoji, so yes, I have.
Okay. Have you seen?
I heard what he said.
Yeah. Go ahead and read it now, Stephen.
You haven't seen this one yet?
No.
Or heard this one? Okay. No. So, boy, so everyone, all the Chiefs fans are telling them to shut up. One guy says, "I love it." This is Justin Reed at 7:58 a.m. this morning. Unpopular opinion: we lost, but I was still right. And then the emoji with the zippered mouth. Cry about it. So, there you go.
Right about what?
I don't know. I mean, Hayden Hurst being finessed because he got hurt and left the game early, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, he didn't really
locking
lock
people up.
He didn't really lock him up. He left the game.
Yeah. He got hurt. Justin Reed was invisible in that game.
I know he missed a big tackle.
I saw him get stiff-armed, and I saw Jamar Chase in his face at that T. Higgins touchdown. I was like, that was coming.
He called him tuna in a can, so.
What? Yeah. I don't think.
Nate. Say something
well,
then.
I like.
Cry about it.
I've been a big fan of Justin Reed. I think he's been an upgrade over Tyrann Mathieu, and everything he's said and done up until this point, I've appreciated. I don't think he's some great all-pro type player, but I think he's been solid. This blows my mind.
This is like
phenomenal misstep in the first place.
It's like Sam Hubbard saying, "Mahomes ain't nothing. We got him. We got him wrapped up." It's like
I mean, it's just, you know, it's like you just and he did the right thing after the game. He like apologized, like, you know, I went over to the other guy, apologized for not knowing his name, and, you know, shouldn't have done that. Okay, leave that alone now.
Why would he tweet this?
What are you doing? You're just doubling down on the stupidity, man. You know? Like, what?
Tone deaf. Yeah, to me, that kind of stuff's not a big deal. It's more entertaining than anything else.
But you just said that the Bengals have a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, Joe Burrow mentioned it in the press conference.
They all did. Yeah. Every single one of them. Yeah. And I
played a montage of it.
I've been around enough pro athletes who have said to me, things like, hey, you don't need to don't give me extra motivation, right? Yeah. Like, and I know one thing that players hate is when their coach runs his mouth, because now he's writing a check that they have to go cash on the field. Yeah. Well, Justin Reed did that for his entire team, yeah. And now he's doubling down with it. And a team like, to me, there was, I did feel uncomfortable all week last week that there just kind of was this undercurrent where, well, yeah, the Bengals got the Chiefs twice last year, but we all know the Chiefs are better, and they're going to go out and
show it this time.
That was the overcurrent. and yeah, if I were the Bengals, I'd be like, "F you, man, we beat you twice," and they were like that. You could tell they were turned up.
Yeah. And if you really, this is what I appreciate about Joe Burrow, and why I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, you get around Joe Burrow, he's not trying to ingratiate himself to anybody. He's not trying to, play politics or be diplomatic. Like, he's in the press conference after a big win, and he looks like he's still pissed off that he's got to be there and answering. All he wants to do is go out and win. Like, he doesn't do commercials. I haven't seen him in a commercial anywhere. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's number one pick. He should be getting a lot more celebrity notoriety than he gets. I don't think he cares about that stuff. I think when you get him, if you gave him some true serum and talked about winning that game on Sunday, he would be like, "Yeah, I beat Patrick Mahomes." Like, if it's Josh Allen, I beat Josh Allen. I guarantee you, in his quiet moments, he's not going to say it, but he's going to. He carries himself like, people don't think I'm as good as these people. People don't think my team is as good as these people. People don't think my town is as good as the towns these people live in. And it's like it's real with him,
dude. That throw he made on 3rd and 11, that's a winning play. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a winner delivers that pass.
Yeah, and so going back to what I said earlier, and for that reason, and it's not that I don't think the Chiefs choke. I don't think they fall apart or anything. I think that the Bengals are well coached. I think they have a really good understanding of who they are offensively. They have tremendous confidence offensively. If you gave Patrick Mahomes, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. Like, they wouldn't. He'd have four championships right now. There's no question about it. Like, you could even take Kelce away and give him those three guys. He'd have four championships right now just because that's how good those guys are. And when I tell people in the press box, I was talking to some of the local guys, and I said, you know, they were saying Chiefs are going to win. I said, they can't match up with their receivers. And I think when people hear that, they think, oh, it means Ja'Marr Chase is going to do what he did in the first game and have 250 yards receiving and three touchdowns, or T. Higgins is going to have 150 yards and two scores. It just means it makes the game easier for their quarterback. He goes to the line of scrimmage, and he knows somebody's winning. And so when you talk about not being able to get to the quarterback, that's part of it. Like, he understands, I'm going to have enough protection because they're going to have to double somebody out here. They're not going to be – when they blitz, I'm going to see it coming. And it became so simplistic watching that game from the press box, from the, because we had the back end. We were able to see a lot of the back end view from the secondary. You could see him just knowing, okay, Justin Reed's walking towards the line of scrimmage. I'm going over the top to Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, he's – you know, Juan Thornhill's over here. He's near the line of scrimmage. Okay, I'm going to throw a quick end to T. Higgins. I've got this matchup here, this matchup there. Oh, they're dropping seven guys. I'll throw it underneath the – he had an answer for everything they threw at him. And so it's hard to defend that. And then on the flip side of it, I knew the Chiefs were in trouble in that game in the second quarter when Mahomes started, like, spinning around, like, trying to find receivers open because, once again, they understand, let's not rush like a bat out of hell and try to get a huge sack, a 8-yard loss. Let's rush in a disciplined fashion. Let's not let him step up in the pocket. Let's spy him so he can't escape. And let's, if he's going to get outside the pocket, he's going backwards. And so oftentimes in that game, when he got around the tackle, he wasn't turning and moving towards the line of scrimmage. He was going away from the line of scrimmage. That's coaching. That's discipline. That's what I'm talking about, just understanding, like, how to be the better team in this matchup.
And still, if Travis Kelce doesn't fumble that ball, the Chiefs are in control of that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the Bengals still want to find a way to win it.
I mean, they're up, what were they, up four at that time and driving?
And by the way, he didn't fumble the ball. He got taken away from
well,
him.
Well, and I said that. The Bengals deserve, I can't remember which linebacker pulled it out.
Pratt,
right now. Yeah.
Jermaine Pratt.
Yeah, Jermaine Pratt deserves a lot of credit for that. But, and the fumble happened. I'm not suggesting that that play doesn't count or anything like that. No. But my point is just like, that's, the Bengals had a difficult time stopping the Chiefs too. And once they got rolling in the second quarter and third quarter of that game, and it was a fumble that flipped that whole game. That's how close the game was. It wasn't like this was some 10-point win by the Bengals.
I'm not saying that at all. No.
Yeah,
but I'm saying they took Kelce away and they frustrated Mahomes in ways he has been frustrated in a long time this season.
Sure.
And they
sure
deserve credit for that.
For sure.
It seemed like they got things rolling, though, before that fumble. They had back-to-back touchdown drives, and they had held the Bengals to field goals in back-to-back drives. And if they score a touchdown on that drive, it's an 11-point lead. So that fumble was a big moment in that game. And, yes, they forced the fumble. He just didn't drop it.
Yeah. No, quite. The fumble was a huge play in the game, but so was the tackle that Osai made to set up the field goal try. Right? If he doesn't hustle back and get Mahomes down on that play, that opens up the possibility of them getting ahead or being in a more manageable situation to take control of the game.
Well, hey, and also the Bengals dropped a wide open touchdown pass.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plays that are left out there. It's, I guess the point, I'm bringing it back to the point of, we're talking about the difference between two really good football teams and games that go down. All three games have been decided by 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the decisions, that's why I still think that the decision by Andy Reid to kick the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down at the end of the game is a massive decision in that game. They hadn't, as you pointed out, they had no answers for the Bengals defense, at least in terms of keeping them from scoring. They moved into field goal territory in all but one of their drives the entire game. Mm. So to think you're going to kick the field goal and then stop the Bengals after that?
Well, and the thing I'll say about that field goal try, that I know that people have said he shouldn't have kicked it or gone for it, I think in that moment, one, I'm not so certain that Andy Reid didn't look at his quarterback and say, he's limping. Like, let's just kick the field goal and see what happens. And now, some people have said that it wasn't a factor, he wasn't that hurt or whatever. If he's limping off the field, you got 40 seconds to decide what you're trying to do here. It's a long kick. So if you're going to kick it, you want to give your kicker a chance to feel comfortable attempting it. And you don't want to burn a timeout in a situation because it's a close game and you're still going to need those timeouts at the end of the game. And so to lose a timeout there and not have it later in the game, that's a huge error too that no one talks about. So I understand the thinking. Look, he's made those kicks before. I think they were hoping to make it then. I think the other factor in that deserves mention is that you don't have Mecole Hardman, you don't have Kadarius Toney, Travis Kelce has been contained. Who do you feel comfortable in that situation going to if you're Andy Reid? And keep in mind, when they went for it on fourth down and scored a touchdown, they needed a phenomenal play by their quarterback to get those 3 yards. And so there's a lot that goes into that decision aside from just, hey, we got the best quarterback in the world. If you don't make it, game's over.
But Joe Burrow's on the other side.
Yeah.
Even if you make it, it's a tie game. And you have to stop him with 3 minutes left in the game.
Well, they had gotten a stop before. They got a stop on fourth down. They had a fourth down stop.
Yeah, but that would have been a field goal. But that would have been a field goal. Like, the Bengals don't need it. If it's a tie game, all the Bengals got to do is drive it into field goal territory, which they did on 7 of their 8 possessions in that game.
All I've heard all year long is how good the Chiefs' defense has gotten. All I've heard is Willie Gay is this and Trent McDuffie is
back. But you just told us the Chiefs had no answers for the Bengals' offense. You said that Joe Burrow had the answer for every single thing the Chiefs did to them defensively.
Well, I'm saying at that point you probably have to give some faith to your defensive coordinator and say, I hope he can make this. I hope he can make it happen.
You'd rather give that faith to him than to your all-world quarterback.
I'm saying I understand why he chose to do what he did. And I'm saying that in that situation, and I'd probably guess that Mahomes limping factored more into it than people are letting on.
Thank you.
I think that's a big factor in it.
You call a timeout. You see if your quarterback can go. You don't trust that defense. You can't be stubborn and say, well, we think it's – you're getting your ass kicked defensively on that day in that matchup. That's why they went for it on fourth and goal from the 3. They didn't settle for a field goal. That was a bold move, and they scored a touchdown, and it almost blew up in their face. They barely got the ball across the goal line.
And that's what I'm saying.
Because you don't trust your defense.
Yeah, but
the defense ain't stopping nobody.
But are you okay with the game ending there then, if you're Andy Reid? I don't think you are.
Well, the game didn't end there. I mean, the game ends in a missed field goal. You still got to get a stop either way. Even if you kick a field goal and you make it, you still got to get a stop.
Yeah.
Because the game didn't end when they missed the field goal. Getting a fourth down.
So
the only way you can control the game and end the game on your terms is hold on to the football and either score a touchdown at the end or kick a field goal at the end and go to overtime.
So what time was that? It was, 3 minutes ago when they kicked that field goal?
3:20 something, I think.
And they had 3 timeouts to go. So let's play it out. Say, for example, Chiefs make that field goal. The Bengals come down. They don't get a touchdown. They have to kick a field goal. Then you still have 3 timeouts. Maybe a minute to get in the field goal range, kick a field goal, and go to overtime.
The Bengals ain't going to leave a minute on the clock.
We don't know that.
They could.
Sure. I mean, we're all assuming they're going to score a touchdown. If they kick a field goal, you still have an opportunity to do something.
The way
right?
they were running the ball and everything, it sure seems like they had a good chance to kill a lot of clock.
And by the way, they still had to make a tremendous throw. On 3rd and 11. To win the game.
But they did.
But it was still a great throw.
It was. It was a great
catch.
So
it wasn't like it's like the margin for error was.
But I guess that's my point is like.
Why is the highway?
It's a great throw, but that's why Joe Burrow, in your opinion, is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. When you're doing the calculus on all this stuff, it's one thing if you're playing against the Rams and their third string quarterback, and you decide, hey, let's go ahead and tie this game up because we'll get another stop. It's another thing when you're playing against Joe Burrow in that offense, you know, and what they've done through the course of the game. The eye test tells you that they have, 7 of their 8 drives, they moved the ball at least 50 yards, you know. And look.
If you're going to force someone to make a great throw to win the game, I'd rather it be the Chiefs taking that opportunity than the Bengals. Because that Chiefs defense wasn't stopping the Bengals. And, yeah, I'm hugely disappointed because I thought they were going to be better than that. Absolutely. You're right. That's all you've heard about. That's all I've heard about. I thought they were going to be better.
So let's go ahead instead of just going back and forth on this point. Let's get back to the game then, because I think one of the reasons we thought that this defense was going to be better. One of the reasons we thought this defense was going to be better is because the pass rush is better, and the pass rush has been better statistically this year, but it's not better against the Bengals. Like, they still got one sack, and that was when Joe Burrow gave himself up. Other teams can sack him, and the Chiefs supposedly have a better pass rush this year. Why can't they sack him?
Well, I think two things. One, a lot of – like, they gave up 12 sacks in their first two games. And they played the Steelers when the Steelers were completely healthy. T.J. Watt was before he got hurt. And Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys have probably the best pass rush in football.
And it was a brand-new offensive line at that time.
So they – that skewed a lot of what's happened. They've been better up front over the last – whatever it's been, 12 games since then or 11 games since then, or 10 games. And that's one. Two, they recognize something that the Chiefs had to learn last year in the first half of the season. Nobody's going to let you throw the football all over the field the way you want to because you're talented. And Joe Burrow was holding the football too long. They were calling too many shot plays. They started realizing we have to throw quick sometimes. We got to run the football better. You know, we have to take what defenses give us. And that's when their offense began to change. They began to, and in an ironic way, Ja'Marr Chase being hurt forced Joe Burrow to rely more on T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst and these guys. And so they became a more diverse offense just out of necessity. They had to learn how to do this. And so that's, you know, I understand what you're saying. I think the narrative about their offensive line, if you just look at the stats, you'd say, oh, it's a bad offensive line. But they've gotten better over time because they've done other things to help them get better. Flip side of it, the Chiefs' pressure rate has always been skewed because of their blitz packages. And so when you're playing a team that has three good receivers, same thing with the Bills. You can't blitz as much as you want because you have to be able to double somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to double somebody, you better get there fast. Otherwise, you're giving up big plays. And so that's what becomes a part of the dynamic when the Bills and the Bengals are playing the Chiefs. It's that it's picking your poison. And Spagnuolo loves playing man defense, man coverage. And when you do that, it just makes it easier for quarterbacks to know, okay, Ja'Marr Chase against Trent McDuffie, my guy's winning. That's what Mahomes used to do with Tyreek Hill. Whatever play is called, that guy's winning because they don't have an answer for him. And so that to me is what – people just look at pass rush and think it's all offensive line. It's what the quarterback sees. It's what the routes the receivers are running. It's what the coverage does behind it. All that stuff is a part of it. And if you're – I feel like I say this like every year at some point in the season. A quote from Ozzie Newsome 20 years ago, sacks – are more the result of confusion than talent. You have to force the quarterback to see something he's not seeing or be confused about what he's seeing. And when that happens, the rush has way more time to get home. If the quarterback walks up there and knows exactly what coverage you're in, exactly where he wants to go, it's the Tom Brady effect. I don't care who's rushing. I don't care if it's Micah Parsons. I don't care if it's Usain Bolt. They're not getting there because the ball's coming out.
We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Chedia, will Deion Sanders be successful at Colorado?
It depends on how you define success. Sidebar to this. I was at the I forget who they were playing. The Chiefs were playing maybe the Titans or somebody earlier in the year. Maybe it was the Bills. I can't remember. But like Eric Bieniemy, who I've known for a long time, he's got a friend of mine who came into town, who I played with in college, who came into town with one of Bieniemy's old teammates, and so we were all in the before Bieniemy came out of the locker room, we were all in the near the family area talking about just that Colorado job had just opened up. So I was asking one of his old teammates, hey, you think Bienemy takes that job? And the guy was like, bad job. No, that happened. It's a hard place to win. And I thought it'd be a perfect place for Bienemy to go, obviously, because he played there. He's a god there. I think Deion Sanders will be probably a 7-5 type coach there. It's a tough place to win because you don't have natural recruiting areas to pipe into. You have to go into California, to go into Texas. When they've won consistently, they've gotten players out of those areas, and it's just, you know, it's super hard to get players out of those areas now to go to Colorado. But I think he'll bring a certain level of panache to the position. He will raise the profile. You know, he's already got a buzz.
He already has.
Part of me thinks just knowing him, I think he wanted a place for his kid to raise his profile a little bit. You know, you're not seeing the same kind of notoriety at Jackson State that he'd get in a Power 5 program. So now he has that as well. But Deion's he's a showman. He's a master strategist. He knows how to work the media. And so, yeah, I think at the very least, Colorado will be talked about in ways that haven't been talked about in a long time.
It's interesting to me because when I was working, you know, the sidelines of KU football and Colorado was in the Big 12, we'd end up going out there every other year and getting to know, like, the AD at that time, I don't know who it is now, but the AD at that time in Colorado was a former KU football player, and I'd get a chance to talk to him all the time. And it was – the big challenge has been that the culture at Colorado has been kind of anti – the new wave of big athletic departments and raising hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, their football stadium hasn't been upgraded in forever. Their facilities haven't been upgraded, and their alumni base is kind of like, yeah, we don't really want to get into that rat race. We want to be an academic institution, and that's supposedly kind of why they left the Big 12 too. So it seems like quite a departure than to go to Deion Sanders, who's like, I'm bringing my Louis Vuitton luggage, you know, and all that stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing, like.
Well, and NIL money, too, is a big thing for them. They haven't really piped into that. And there's a lot of that money around the Colorado area. So to keep players happy and, you know, satisfied with what they're getting away from the field is a big factor. But, yeah, I think he will focus on all that stuff. I imagine just what's happened in the landscape of college football over the last year or so with a lot of movement, you know, people positioning themselves. Pac-12 was very much in jeopardy of being raided by the Big Ten, by the Big 12. And so if you're Colorado, you just can't sit there and think, oh, we just want to be an academic institution. Well, you lose a lot of money. There's still a lot of money in this game for high-level sports programs. And if you're going to just fade away, that gets people fired. And so I think this is definitely a move to start moving in that direction. Maybe not all the way in, but they need to be thinking about fielding a really good football program that can be attractive to a conference in the next 5 years.
All right, let's before we move on from college, any thoughts on Michigan's matchup in the college football playoffs?
I like it. I like it better than you know, what they had last year when they had to play Georgia in the semifinals. But, you know, TCU is a really good team, and you take nothing for granted. But, you know, I feel good about where Michigan's at. I mean, I have to give Harbaugh a ton of credit for what he's done. A couple years ago, if you'd asked me if he was going to be the coach, I would have said maybe 35% chance that he sticks around, 40% either because of performance issues or just trying to find a job back in the NFL, but he's really committed himself and built a great program. And you know, it's being in Cincinnati and Ohio after they had beaten Ohio State was always fun because they're just griping down there and they're whining. They're so upset down there. I was sitting next to a guy in the press box who worked at the Columbus Dispatch, and I said, what's the vibe in Columbus? He said, be honest with you, they don't even want to go to the playoff. I think they'd be like, they're so upset about what happened. Like, winning a national championship isn't as exciting as beating Michigan to them. And so it's just they feel like losing that game just killed the season. And you just saw their star receiver just said, I'm not going to the playoffs.
Does anybody feel like anybody's winning this thing besides Georgia, though?
I was going to say, they don't have to worry about that long.
They'll be back home soon enough.
Yeah, and that's probably, factor into it a little bit. If they thought they could really win it, they'd probably feel it differently.
Yeah, that's probably true. But
do you think you guys got a good shot if you get to Georgia?
They got a shot. I mean, Georgia would be favored. They're tough. But, you know, I watched Georgia play in Missouri, and Missouri almost got them. I mean, they're not what they were last year, which was just dominant. I mean, you got like 15 guys getting drafted.
Six first-round picks.
That's a whole different beast. I mean, they're not as strong in, you know, at receivers. They don't have a George Pickens-type player down there. And I think Michigan's gotten better. I think Michigan's learned from it. I think it's the way college football is. You have to – look at it like if you want to win it, you have to go through an SEC school. And to do that, you better be strong up front. You better be a physical team. You better have some speed. And I think Michigan's gotten more of that. They've become more of a big play team and more of a more physical team than they were last year.
It made me sad when you said George Pickens.
Oh, you wanted him here. Yes, I did. You didn't want him over Sky Moore?
I did want him over Sky Moore. But boy, you know who looks good now? This old Christian Watson, huh?
He's come alive, hasn't he?
Yeah. A little slow start.
Thinking, well, we were just talking about what are the odds of that Raiders-Chiefs game, season ending, being a high-stakes affair?
Yeah.
He was just
Come down to the number one seed for the Chiefs and a playoff spot maybe for the Raiders.
The Raiders are red hot.
By the way, I just to interrupt, I can't believe I'm quoting this show, but this Good Morning Football, they do those angry runs. Justin Reed getting body slammed by Chamaje Perine's up there right now. Put that on Twitter. But the Raiders, and Jeff was pointing out the schedule coming up for the Raiders.
You know what they got coming up? Rams, Patriots, Steelers. Next three games for the Raiders.
They should win them.
That Patriots game will be an interesting one, you know, but, they can go to the playoffs.
If you have Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams in your fantasy team right now, you are just going crazy.
Winning.
You are just going crazy every week right now.
It could be a hell of a game at the end of the season. No doubt about that. And that was a one-point game earlier this year, so it should be a fun matchup. Okay, what about the matchup coming up on Sunday? The Chiefs take on the Broncos. Any reason? I feel like we have to kind of do some mental gymnastics to try to create a problem for the Chiefs here. But I think it's as simple as that Denver offense can't score against anyone. So how could they score enough points to beat the Chiefs?
Well, I think their only goal is to do it. I mean, their defense is pretty good. So I think you have to keep the score down. I mean, they've only scored over 20 points twice this year that I can remember. I think maybe if they did it one other time, I must have missed it, but I'm pretty sure they haven't hit 20 points more than twice. But they've also played like 8-1 score games or something like that. So I think the Broncos have a scheme that is, I think, can give the Chiefs, that's given the Chiefs problems in the past, but I think it's going to be, like you said, like the same game they played before, where it's probably going to be close for a while, and then the Chiefs will pull away at the end. But I do think the Chiefs have, obviously, they have incentive. They have a lot of reasons to want to go out here and play well. I don't know. I feel like it's going. I say this a lot with the Chiefs. I think it's going to be like the Titans game or like the Rams. I think it's just going to be an ugly game.
Yeah.
It's not going to be – they're going to be very physical and try to on defense, try to really frustrate the Chiefs, you know, with their – got a good secondary. Still got a decent pass rush even with Bradley Chubb being gone. And I think that offensively, I think that they won't do much against the Chiefs defense. I could see it easily being like a 20 to 12 game, 20 to 13 type game.
Yeah. Listen to these. This is the what the Broncos have scored this year. 16, 16, 11. They exploded for 23. 9, 16, 9, 21, 10, 16, 10, 9. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
that's unbelievable.
It's almost to the point you have to wonder if they're getting close to a record for worst offense in the history of the NFL. I mean, I don't know what the
numbers
are. Like
in this age
are.
Of football where yeah. everything right. is
that's
geared
the thing.
Towards offense?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not talking about like the you know,
yeah, I mean,
60s here.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably guess they probably score maybe 12 touchdowns this year total.
I mean, God. Yeah.
I know Jamal Williams has either the same amount that the Broncos scored touchdown-wise this year or he's got more than them now.
Yeah, it can't be more than 12.
I mean, just the last 4 weeks alone, 10, 16, 10, 9. Unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You think anyone's going to claim Baker Mayfield, Jeff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
49ers. Wouldn't the 49ers want him?
Well, they're so low on the waiver wire list. I mean, yeah, they'd be like...
He might not even get to him.
Yeah, they'd be like in the 20s. So he'd be... I'm sure somebody out there would take a flyer on him because there's no risk. You bring him in, he's not getting paid a bunch of money. There's no compensation you have to give up to get him. And you can see if he's got anything to offer. You know, about the Jets, I'd bring him in.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, why not? You know, I mean, just.
I'd take a look at him. Yeah, the Niners. Shanahan said that he'd be surprised if they did, but I'd be surprised if they didn't, if he slipped that far.
Yeah. I mean, that Brock Purdy played pretty well. I don't think he's going to be playing that well every week, but they're more a team that likes the guys who've been in their system, and they're not going to blow it all up. But I think a team that's probably a little more desperate, needing quarterback help, would do it. I mean, if you're the Houston Texans, why wouldn't you do it? Given what you got down there right now.
I think the Jets is a good shout because they actually can be a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I can understand the Texans being like, well, this season's lost anyway, so let's, you know, but...
Yeah, well, it can be a playoff team, and you've got – now they got Flacco there too, but you could also look at it like if Zach Wilson isn't your guy, maybe we need somebody to buy us some time until we can find the next guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's – I think Baker Mayfield could easily be what Geno Smith has become later in his career if he's able to stick around long enough and really humble himself. And I think he's a hard worker, but I think just getting past what he was, started his – you know, the defiant, tip on my shoulder – you know, clap back at you type dude and just go work on your game and find the right system. Because Geno surprised a lot of people with what he's done.
Jeff, I feel like my persistence is finally paying off. The 10-2 Vikings are 1.5 point underdogs at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and now they have a new toy in Jameson Williams.
Yep.
Who's back from the torn ACL?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'll say this. Yeah, they got the Vikings and the Jets the next 2 weeks. Yeah. And then they finish with the Panthers, Lions, and Packers. What? And so if they can survive these next two games, they got a real shot. And you're right. I mean, they're hanging in there. They were just doing something. We're going to quote Good Morning Football twice this week.
Oh, boy.
About 5-7 teams.
Oh, boy.
And they were picking the 5-17 they most like to make the playoffs. One person picked the Raiders. One picked the Steelers, which I don't think is going to happen.
Hmm.
Third person took the Lions.
Yes, sir.
I can see the Raiders and the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions.
Yep.
Now, that tie – with the Giants and the Commanders is a big deal now because they might have a half game advantage if they all end up whatever would be those two teams could end up with 10-6-1, and the Lions go 10-7. The Lions are out, so that's a huge tie. But I like their odds. They just scored 40 points against the Jaguars. They went to the wire against Buffalo on Thanksgiving. They're like, once again, 4 1-point, 1-score losses.
This World Cup's doing some weird things. We got Bengals players faking injuries on the field. We got teams tying in the NFL. What's going on here, man?
Isn't it a draw? They call it in soccer. They call it a draw.
Yeah. Get 1 point.
I take anything away from Tampa's last second win last night over the Saints?
Tom Brady still being Tom Brady.
He'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I felt like that running back that get Rashad White, that rookie.
Is it Kansas City?
Is it Kansas City kid?
Yeah.
They went to Arizona State, didn't they? They come from Arizona State. But, well, good for him. I feel like he is their most important player because they're feeding him a lot in the pass game. He's a pretty good runner. He's got more shift, he's got more wiggle to him than Fournette does. And you can just tell Brady's like turning him into his James White type back now. He's just going to him in all situations. So, yeah, I don't see them being a difference maker. I think Dallas is going to win the NFC now, the way they're playing. I don't see Tampa really beating them or the Eagles. But with the Niners going down, with Garoppolo going down, they're not going to be a factor. So, NFC is getting more and more interesting.
Rashad White, Kansas City, Missouri, Center High School.
A Center High School kid, all right.
Let's go.
Center's got a couple guys in the pros. They had a guy playing lineman and went to D lineman from Nebraska. If you Malik something or other, was I have a mutual friend with him. And so I was like, this guy went to Nebraska, played at Center High School. Never heard of him before. He's been playing for the Dallas Cowboys a couple years ago.
Rashad White's having a nice season. He's developing to one of their most important players. So yeah, there we go. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Make you, man. Take care.
I will. I'll do that. That's Nate Bucati, Jeff Chedia, Marco Marquez. I'm Stephen St. John. Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.